From NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. Defense Secretary Ash Carter has arrived in Israel to calm waters over the nuclear deal with Iran that was brokered by six world powers, including the U.S. Israel's been a vocal critic of the deal.
Friends can disagree, but we have decades of rock-solid cooperation with Israel and much to work on.
And he says he's not going to change anyone's mind in Israel, but he's there to focus on all the things the U.S. and other countries do together. He also says the security of Israel is of paramount concern. Carter will also talk with the leaders of Jordan and Saudi Arabia. Relatives of the gunmen who opened fire in Chattanooga last week are offering condolences to the victim's family. Michael Edward Miller of member station WTC reports his family has released a statement saying he suffered from depression.
Four Marines died Thursday when the alleged shooter, 24-year-old Mohammed Yusuf Abdulaziz, opened fire at a Naval Reserve Center. A fifth victim, Navy Petty Officer Second Class Randall Smith, was injured and died Saturday. That same day, Abdulaziz's family released their first public statement about the shootings. They say there are no words to describe their shock, horror, and grief, and they are praying for the victims' families and friends. His parents are Jordanian, but their son was a naturalized U.S. citizen, and they say they've loved Chattanooga for over 25 years. Abdulaziz suffered from depression for many years, according to the family's statement. Authorities searched the family's home for evidence, but made no arrests. A motive has not yet been discovered. For NPR News, I'm Michael Edward Miller.
UNESCO has inaugurated several world-renowned mausoleums in Timbuktu, Mali. They've been reconstructed after Islamist extremists destroyed them. The BBC's Alex Duval Smith has more.
The graves are those of Timbuktu's founding saints. They're venerated by the city's inhabitants, a practice considered blasphemous by fundamentalists. UNESCO's Director General, Irina Bokova, said she hopes the International Criminal Court will bring charges against those who damaged the mausoleums. The extremists also vandalized mosques and burnt ancient manuscripts. UNESCO says it needs a further $8 million to help save Mali's ancient heritage.
The BBC's Alex Duval Smith reporting. Japanese automaker Mitsubishi is apologizing to World War II vets forced to work in Japanese mines and plants during the war. The parent company of Mitsubishi today delivering a personal apology to 94-year-old James Murphy in Los Angeles. He's the only POW forced to work for the auto company who could make the trip. Officials think some 12,000 American prisoners were forced to work for Imperial Japan during the war. This is NPR. Greek residents will be able to head to their banks Monday. They're reopening after being closed for 3 weeks as the country deals with its debt crisis. The banks will reopen with a slightly more flexible withdrawal limit of 420 euros all at once per week instead of only 60 a day. That after the European Central Bank agreed to reopen emergency credit lines to Greek banks. Taiwan is likely to have its first ever female president after elections in January. As NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports, both the ruling and opposition parties are fielding female candidates.
The ruling Nationalist Party officially endorsed Hong Xiu-ju as their candidate. The former teacher and current deputy legislative speaker is nicknamed Little Hot Pepper for her spicy rhetoric. She'll go up against Tsai Ing-wen of the opposition Democratic Progressive Party, or DPP. Mainland China and Taiwan split in 1949 following a civil war. The Nationalist Party has tried to link the two sides' economies closer together, but that strategy hurt them in the last local elections. The DPP is more cautious about ties with the mainland, and Tsai Ing-wen has enjoyed a solid lead in recent opinion polls. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Hong Kong.
Cuba plans to raise its flag over a limestone mansion in Washington, D.C. tomorrow as it opens its embassy, marking the end of 54 years of hostility between the two countries. Now, the U.S. hasn't announced a date yet for its formal ceremony to mark the upgrade of a U.S. mission in Havana just yet. U.S. futures contracts are trading in slightly negative territory at this hour. I'm Janine Herbst, NPR News in Washington.